The Pat Kenny Show
with Aviva Insurance
on News Talk.
New year, new you is the mantra for many people in January. And with the popularity of what they call tweakments, like Botox, polynucleotides and dermal fillers continue to rise, getting a little work done might be on the 2026 agenda. But what can go wrong with these procedures? I'm joined on the line by a regular guest on this show, Professor Katrina Ryan, consultant dermatologist at the Institute of Dermatologists. Katrina, good morning.
Morning, Pat.
Now, what we are concerned about is when things go wrong, and things are more likely to go wrong in the hands of unqualified and inexperienced people.
Yes, absolutely. And I think there's two aspects of this. First of all, there's non-medics doing these procedures, and that is really on the rise. I've been shocked myself of all the reports that there have been, particularly of the use of Botox by people who aren't qualified medically in any way. And that is a prescription-only medication. It's highly, highly regulated by the HPRA. And there have been more and more reports of people doing it who shouldn't be doing it, and even in people's houses or, you know, not in a clinical setting. The second problem, though, Pat, is that, of course, they're not allowed purchase from the usual distributors. You know, the distributors are very, very conscientious in only allowing it going to doctors and to dentists, people who have a prescription license. So instead, the source of this Botox is, it could be from anywhere at all. So, you know, when I get my Botox to, you know, our Botox to our clinic, it comes from Allergan, from Mayo. I could tell you at any second in time where that Botox was. There's a really, really strict change, you know, chain to, because it's a biological medication. It's a neurotoxin.
Where are they getting it from? I mean, are they buying it simply online and it's coming in under plain packaging? Or is there some outfit wholesaling this stuff to people who should not be getting it?
I think both of the above. So, you know, it's coming in apparently mainly from the Far East, you know, China, Korea, places like that. And yes, there are people who are profiting from it. There was a great expose done, you know, prime time back in 2024. Mm-hmm. And I was actually shocked by that. But there was, you know, just recently over in the UK, in the Midlands, 38 cases of botulism that they know of. So contaminated Botox, and 38 patients ending up with botulism, which is often fatal, by the way. So the whole body becomes paralyzed. So, you know, whatever about going to a person who's not good at, you know, injecting Botox and ending up with an eyelid closed, you know, because of, you know, bad technique. This is actual contaminated products that could poison people and maybe even kill them. So we have two problems. We have people who shouldn't be doing it and are legally not allowed to do it. And then we have dodgy products that could actually kill somebody. The two problems that we really need to
tackle. Now, do you believe that people are going about this as they might do, drop into the hairdresser, you know, go to get my hair done, going to get my nails done, going to get a little bit Botox done? So they treat it, if you like, not really as a medical procedure, but as strictly cosmetic.
I completely agree. Yeah. You know, because it's become so commonplace and so normalized, I think getting your Botox is almost like, or your fillers, seen as akin to getting your hair dyed or colored. But it's a completely different process. And it's, you know, when it comes to the Botox, it's injecting a toxin into the body. When it comes to fillers, it's a substance, you know, that will remain there and could block off vessels and other things. So I think particularly in our younger generations, you know, they're very vulnerable in that, first of all, it's so commonplace in the younger generation, but also they don't have the same money to spend on these procedures. So they will go to places that are doing it at a price that isn't possible because it's been sought illicitly and it's not being done by the right people. So that they're really the people who are at risk here, I think, for the most part.
Now, Katrina, the kind of things I've seen, I mean, besides those ridiculously grotesque fat lips that people think, it's almost like anorexia. They look in the mirror and they see something that the world does not see. The world sees it as it is and finds it grotesque. And they look in the mirror and they see something which they perceive to be beautiful. But besides all of that, the things that go wrong, for example, people who can't close their eyes, therefore sleep becomes difficult. People who can't open their eyes, drooping eyelids, drooping eyebrows, not being able to speak properly because the lip is frozen, basically. All of that kind of thing. What have you seen?
Well, I've seen all of the above. And I think they are, yes, nobody wants to be going around with their, you know, with a dropped eyelid or, you know, not being able to enunciate their words. But they're all, to me, minor side effects that will wear off within, you know, the 3 months or however long their Botox is going to last. What's much more concerning is the really dangerous infections or contaminations or, you know, Botox being disseminated throughout the body, because they could be, you know, they're life threatening. So, you know, lots of things can go wrong with any sort of injectable. Then on the filler side, the really serious things are when you inject a filler, and even somebody who knows the anatomy very well, you can inject into a vessel. That would mean that you cause death of all of the tissue that vessel supplies. If that's a vessel to the eye, you could cause blindness. And there's been lots of cases of blindness that have been documented as well. So really, really serious things, disfiguring or, you know, lifetime disabilities as a result of it. So it's a really serious issue and one that I think people have become very, very flippant about.
Now, another way people will be listening to this and they've had Botox administered by someone who is not qualified and they're doing it under whatever cover they offer. But they're just saying, I've had it done. Nothing went wrong. This is the profession trying to safeguard their market. What do you say to those kind of people?
I think most people, Pat, know that it is dangerous and it's wrong and, you know, and do take those risks into their hands. You know, it's not every case, of course. It's a small percentage of things that will go very wrong. But when they go wrong, they go very, very wrong. And the cost to the patient, or even the cost of their life, I suppose, is the biggest thing. But, you know, for those botched filler jobs or the botched Botox jobs, it's going to cost them a lot more money in the long run to get things fixed, and often left with things that can be permanent as a result, especially in the cases of filler.
And I was reading something that suggested that even when people are poisoned by Botox, that it may not be immediately apparent. You know, you get this dodgy Botox or it's administered wrongly, and it could take up to 3 or 4 weeks before the Botox permeates the entire system and then the catastrophic damage starts to occur.
Exactly. So, you know, it takes 2 weeks to get to peak effect. So it could be when somebody's starting to feel unwell or things becoming, you know, unusual or weakness or paralysis somewhere. And they don't even associate it with the Botox straight away because it's been a few weeks since they had it done. So, yeah, that is, it's really important to know, too. Your Botox doesn't even start to really kick in until day 3 or 4. So it, in the case of Botox, it often isn't immediate unless it's an all out poisoning, which could happen to anything that is injected into your body through a needle can be contaminated.
Now, obviously, people like yourself and myself can have a chat about this on radio and hopefully enough people hear it to be alert to the dangers. But in terms of regulation and control, what do you think needs to be done in a more general way?
So there's two different categories here. Botox is a prescription medication, so it's much easier for an agency like the HPRA, and they're really, really going after this. I have to put my, you know, give them credit there, that they are trying to find people who shouldn't be administering it and clamping down on illegally prescribed or obtained Botox. I think that there really needs to be a task force making sure that's done for the sake of public safety, especially with these cases of botulism that have happened. You know, we're getting things, or the ill gotten Botox is coming from the same general sources. Then when it comes to fillers, we're in a completely different kettle of fish, unfortunately, because fillers aren't considered a medication. They're not prescription. You could actually order fillers over the internet, Pat, and inject me with it, and you wouldn't be doing anything wrong. But it's because it's considered by law a medical device, and there haven't been regulations put in place, and it's an EU-wide problem. I think here, one of the things to get around it is making sure that insurance companies don't ensure clinics that don't have clinicians or, you know, whether it be doctors, dentists, nurses injecting the fillers, do it. Because it's such devastating consequences when it goes wrong. Yeah. And, you know, the beauticians are not allowed to prescribe the antidote, which is a prescription that dissolves filler away. They can't administer antibiotics because infections can happen. And they can't, if there's an allergic reaction, which can happen too, they have no medical experience or tools at their disposal. So I think it's really, really important that we do something about this. And I think public awareness is huge too. You know, if people aren't doing it in the first place because they realize the risks involved, I think there's a huge win there too.
And by the way, if someone is insured by an insurance company and things go wrong and they're not qualified to do what they're doing, I bet your bottom dollar that the insurance company won't pay up.
Yeah, well, I don't think they should.
No, but they won't anyway. They'll say, hang on a second, you're not qualified to do this. I know we took your money and wrote a policy for you, but you know, without full disclosure, I'm sorry, you're not covered. That's what happens. Yeah.
And then there's the poor victim at the end of all of that, who has the disfigured face or the blindness. So, yeah, it's huge. It's really, really huge.
Professor Katrina Ryan, a consultant dermatologist with the Institute of Dermatologists. Katrina, thank you very much for joining us.
The Pat Kenny Show
with Aviva Insurance
on News Talk.